Matt Lou, do you just want to start, or is it Todd talking?
Yes. Okay. Let Todd kind of start. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks for inviting us to talk about this tonight. And by way of introduction, my name's Todd Guest. I have the pleasure of serving as the business services manager in the finance department, where along with two technicians and one part-time temporary administrative assistant, we have responsibility for approximately 5,000 business licenses, of which just shy of 300 also hold liquor licenses. An additional 350 professional licenses, as well as responsibility for collecting monthly lodging and cigarette taxes.
And Todd, I know you're not a very loud speaker, but if you could pretend to be tonight, that would be appreciated.
Yes, I sure will. Sorry about that. So the purpose of this conversation is to talk about the provisions in code currently established to deal with liquor license establishments that pose a nuisance condition. And while Matthew's pulling up the presentation, I would like to start by giving an overview of the licensing provisions currently in place. The applicant qualifications for a liquor license are actually relatively scant. There is a general requirement that the applicant be of good moral character. In considering moral character, we are to consider criminal history as well as reputation in the community. The premises, the only, apart from requirements with zoning and the UDC, the only premises requirements spelled out in Chapter 4 are that the premises to be licensed don't share an entrance or exit with a building or property being used for unlawful purposes. Okay, great. All right. So I'm on the second bullet point. The investigation components for a liquor license application can be broken down into four steps. Initially, the business license team verifies the application materials for completeness and thoroughness. pardon me. The character of the applicant, as I mentioned before, is considered by virtue of criminal records checks. And then the third component of the investigation involves seeking the endorsements of other city departments. Specifically, these provisions provide that we shall seek the endorsement of the Community Development Department, Public Health and Human Services, as well as the Columbia Fire Department, with specific regard to the safety and sanitation of the license or proposed facility. And then the endorsement from the Columbia Police Department shall include any general reviews and comments. These requirements are the same for both initial licenses as well as annual renewals, which is a lengthy renewal process, and there is an incentive written into these provisions to address that. While the license doesn't expire until June 30th, the requirement is to begin the renewal process by May 1st. Now, in addition to the endorsements that we must seek from city departments, we are also required to give weight to any objections that have been received from what I call qualified neighbors. These provisions qualify those neighbors as either owning property, residing in property, or operating a business within 600 feet of the licensed premises. So that's how they apply. That's how we investigate. We can move on to the next one. So what are the standards of operation and what criteria could we take adverse action against the licensed facility? They break down into four categories. There are two standards which require generally that businesses prevent and suppress violent, disorderly, and unlawful activity, and that should that activity occur within the licensed premises, that they have to they're required to report that information in a timely and immediately, preferably to the Columbia Police Department. There are two standards which involve nuisance avoidance. One of those is very general. It specifically says that the business shall be operated, it specifically says that they must operate the business in such a manner that it does not constitute a nuisance. So there's a lot of latitude in that regard. Additionally, with regard to the nuisance avoidance, it says that these businesses must take appropriate necessary steps to supervise the outdoor areas of the facilities, particularly to avoid conditions that would lead to loitering or people gathering in the parking lots. The third group of standards involve, quite obviously, alcohol regulations. These facilities are required to comply with all state, local, federal laws with regard to serving alcoholic beverages. And it does specifically say that they're also responsible for their employees, of course. And then finally, the fourth group, which contains three standards, involves cooperation with authorities. I already mentioned that that violent activity must be reported in a timely fashion. Additionally, it says that operators of these businesses must cooperate fully with law enforcement authorities during an investigation of any illegal activity. They must comply with all provisions of this chapter in this code, and that they must answer all summonses and appear for all scheduled hearings and trials in any court for any purpose. So those are the specific standards of operation listed in code currently. There are four potential adverse outcomes that could come from a violation of these standards or insufficient application material. The first two involve denial of license, either an initial license application or a denial of the renewal license at the end of the license term. The second two involve active licenses, and those are what I would consider the more severe actions. That would be revocation or suspension of an existing liquor license. All adverse outcomes involve due process and the right for the licensee to appeal. Those appeals are initially heard if the appeal request is filed in a timely manner by the Liquor License Review Board. That board is comprised of three members. One of them is required to be the Director of Finance, Mr. Liu. The other currently is Ms. Stephanie Browning. But that position could be held by the city manager's appointee, who has to be a department director or an assistant city manager, and the chief of police and chief of fire are ineligible for that position. The third member of that body is a council appointee who serves a three-year term. Currently, that's Mr. Brian Gardner, whose term expires on May 1st, 2025. The review board, when asked to hear an appeal of an adverse order from my office, has three options. They can reverse the order, they can modify it, or they can affirm it. If they affirm or modify the order, the licensee has the right to appeal the review board's decision to the Circuit Court of Boone County. Now, one important point is that as soon as notice of appeal is filed to any of these adverse outcomes, with the slight exception of denial of a new license, the adverse outcome is immediately stayed upon notice of appeal. And the operator has a right to continue operating while the appeal process plays out. Now, with regard to suspension and revocation, the suspension can be issued for any period of time between 1 day and 1 year. Revocation has a more significant downside for the licensee in the long term because one of the few qualifications mentioned for applicants is that they have never had a license revoked under the laws of this state or any other. So revocation could potentially, neither can they have had a license revoked under the laws of this or any other state or municipality, but neither can they employ somebody who has had a license revoked. So it is really difficult to continue in that industry if you've had a license. So I mentioned earlier that qualified neighbors can also lodge an objection to the issuance or renewal of a license. Should, after such an objection is filed, my office decide to issue the license against that objection, then that neighbor retains the same appeal rights as the licensee. Had they been agreed, they can appeal the issuance of the license to the Liquor License Review Board. So some of the challenges to administering these provisions at this time, the Business License Division does not contain any compliance personnel. We don't have anybody that can go out and build these cases, so to speak, on our own. We rely on notices of violations from other city departments. Additionally, because of the likelihood of an appeal, given the automatic stay of the enforcement order, I've got an interest that all the material that justifies a suspension or revocation be sound and have a good likelihood of withstanding the appeal process. Some recommendations that we have, and I rushed through this a little faster than I'd hope because I did want to leave a little time for questions, but some recommendations that that we have is that we implement a formal process for accepting and tracking violation notices for licensed establishments. I understand that our software has the ability to do this, and it would be a straightforward process to get set up. Second, I would like to better market with those departments who are involved in compliance as well as required to issue endorsements for licensure to our office of their capacity to decline issuing an endorsement for a license. It's those departments that have the compliance staff on the ground and who have the most access to the history of some of these facilities that have caused more problems than others. And so we rely on their word to tell us when an action should be taken or when a license should be withheld. And then I also would find interest in better marketing to qualified neighbors that they have the right to object to a license issuance as well. Of course, this body hears when we have an applicant within a 100-foot radius of a school, church, place of worship. But generally, we have the opportunity to get input from anybody within a 600-foot radius. And we very rarely do. And I suspect that's because that option is not well marketed or well understood. That's all I have prepared. I'd like to hear what questions or comments you have.
Questions from council, Nick, and then Don.
Well, two. One,
I'll just keep them in the line.
Is that true across states? Is that common or is it pretty much universal?
I don't know the answer to that, particularly with regard to other states. I can tell you that that's specifically spelled out in city code. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's mirroring language within state statutes.
And what precipitates this report?
Say again.
Why are we here?
We had requested a council meeting.
Okay. But you're asking for something as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. To put it not too finely, I think it would be helpful to get some guidance on where the knob needs to be turned on this, because as you can see, and for very good reasons, the due process that's outlined is lengthy, and we do have a small staff. So managing that would be a burden, but it's a burden that we're perfectly willing to undertake given the potential negative outcomes for these businesses that are operating in a way that is less than ideal. So I'd like to know kind of where's the sensitivity on how aggressively these things are enforced.
Matt, can you go back a slide to his recommendations? Thank you.
I'm going to, I know I've got a couple more questions here, but I'm going to, because I believe, Nick, you were the one who first made this request. Do you want to kind of, you know, give a little bit of that information as well as any feedback for the rest of your council members?
Yeah, so I think this may have been my first or second request I made on council sometime last summer. This came as a result, this specific request came as a result of, if you guys recall, last summer we had a couple, a couple shootings in our downtown business loop kind of facilities related to, let's say, unruly gatherings around certain establishments. And I was curious as to what, you know, powers and authorities the city had existing for us to do something about that. And that evolved into what are our powers and authorities around any type of business, whether it's a bar or anything, who perhaps is not contributing to our community in a positive way. And so staff worked on that these past few months, and I'm grateful for that and their recommendations.
So I keep going down. Rachel, you had your hand up, and then
I had just a very brief question. Can you go back to the neighbor reporting? Yeah. So if it is issued, then do they operate until that goes through the appeal process, or similar?
Any of our if an appeal were to go beyond the city's jurisdiction, if they were to file an appeal to the circuit court, it's at that court's discretion whether to stay, but any appeal within our process automatically stays the order. With one small exception, I meant to cover this in the presentation, I'm sorry. New licenses, brand new, if they're denied, they don't have a right to continue or begin operating. But renewal license, if they were denied, they would be able to continue as the process played out. Yes.
Done.
One or two more to the four adverse. I think it might have been.
Give us the next one. That's over two back.
I think it was either five or six. So, if I understood you, heard you correctly, you've got about 5,000 licenses that you oversee in the city.
5,000 business licenses, right?
Do you have, so just kind of a perspective, I guess, for me, do you have numbers as to the any of these four categories, how many denied, say, the last year denied, or how many either new or the renewal?
None. Statistics? None. We have revoked the liquor license of an establishment, but that was in response to the state taking the same action. And that's the entirety of my tenure in this position, which is about 2.5 years.
Is that because of a lack of complaints or a lack of staff to investigate?
The former.
Pardon?
Yeah, the former.
Complaints.
Lack of complaints.
So basically we have a relatively well-behaved business community, with a few exceptions.
I don't know if it's a relatively well-behaved business community or a relatively immature or informal reporting process, or a combination of the two.
Mayor stepped out, so I'm in her place right now. Did you have a question, Betsy?
I'm just going to ask our police officers if they've got any insight into our bar scene. Is this something we need to pursue and become more vigilant on, or is this everybody behaves?
It seemed like in the past, over when I say the past, for me it's like 18 years, right? Mm-hmm. That we've not had a great mechanism to consistently apply the same standards. So we would have issues at a place and there wasn't a lot of follow through on actually giving sanctions, because I don't know that there was a great mechanism for that. And I don't live and breathe in this part of the ordinance, so it's not something we would spend a lot of time in, but I see it also as like as a deterrent effect, right? So when Todd talked with us about this, you know, usually when you're talking about a suspension, you know, a suspension for a weekend or two at a bar is gigantic. So you don't have to levy a 30, 45, 60 day suspension to make an impact and show, hey, we're serious. You need to follow these rules. Now, a big part of this, admittedly, falls on the police department, because we have to do a good job of thorough, fair documentation about what's going on. We can't expect businesses necessarily to control what goes on in the street out front. However, if they're over-serving patrons inside the bar that are then coming outside and doing these things, that's a different story. And that takes some coordination on our part. We had a good meeting with liquor control. Liquor control was very active when I first started the police department. Then their staff was cut exponentially. Now they have some staff. We are definitely their biggest customer in the two agents we have their jurisdiction. And just so happens one of the former CPD officers. So he's very familiar with the downtown area. They are more than willing to help us come in on the front end. And we've been talking about doing what we did years ago, which was have bar meetings in the summer before school starts, get their staff trained, you know, about everything from checking IDs to over service, all these things on the front end, so that we feel like everybody's on the same page going into the bar season when school starts. So we feel really strongly that if we provide the proper documentation, that they're ready to work with us on, hey, we got to put the hammer down here to show that we're not going to let some of this stuff go on, because I think that's how we lead to some of the issues that we have. We just have to make sure we're doing it fairly and providing the best
consistent.
So we're coming towards the end of the time, and I again apologize that earlier ones go. You had two kind of recommendations for this. One, the first one just sounds like a process, which the fact that we don't have one, or you know what I mean, that it's not as cleared out. Like, I think that's the sort of thing that all of council just wants to be consistent across all the departments. So I would imagine whatever the process is for moving it through the system, both the appeals would be supported, but obviously look to you, to Carlin, on.
And there's different schools of thought. Like when we talk about process for suspension or revocation or even denial, you know, is it three incidents that leads to a suspension?
Yeah, and I'll look, and to keep us, what I would say is, like, keep, you know, coming back to us what it is you're thinking to do. But he also sounded like you were talking about just actually using the software that we already have. Yes. I mean, that sounds kind of like a no-brainer as far as that goes. Yeah.
I think the harder part is to have, the chief says, making sure that the police department, when they're doing their investigation, that there's follow through, sending the health department and fire department.
So. Right. And so I think, like, for that, it's kind of like the guidance, obviously, wanting to and follow the rules that we have in place, being mindful over the time and the staff that it takes for doing it. And I think just updating us on what feedback you actually need from us on this, but we would obviously be looking to you, to Carlin, on what is it, because I don't guide the police department on what to, you know, but I mean, but through you, kind of our expectations.
And then I think, though, kind of to this point is we've had those conversations on how do we better improve our systems. And Chief Sullivan said, the work with liquor control to kind of make sure that we actually train our owners on better on operations and processes. How do we make sure we do an ID check, making sure we're not over-serving. So if something does occur, then we can say, okay, you've been trained on this, you've been taught this, and you've now violated it. And so we have that process. And I've been in cities where, and I'm not asking for this, for every liquor license before they were approved, they actually go before the city council for approval. And that's a longer process. That's a longer process. And so I'm not recommending that, but that is something that has occurred in other cities.
And I just want to say, I really appreciate, kind of as the mayor pointed out, that your recommendations are about clarifying existing processes and kind of reinvigorating some of those, as you said, like the, whether it's the neighbor thing or some of the others, about perhaps not really taking advantage of that today. Because when I request this and have engaged with Carlin and staff throughout the process, as you guys have worked on it, to me, it's always been about what are our existing tools in the toolbox and are we utilizing them, right? It's got to create something new if we don't have to. So I really appreciate the work you guys have done here.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and end our meeting, but I don't imagine this is the last. I imagine you'll probably come back if there's something else to do on that.